It's wonderful for you to be here, claiming this time at the beginning of the week to pause and to be in sanctuary. We also have some celebrations. I know watching faithfully online, live this morning, is Ethelyn Phillips, and she has a birthday, so we're going to clap, we're going to wave. Happy birthday, Ethelyn. Now, she's the only birthday girl that I have for today. Are there any other birthdays? You know I'll find out. Are there any other birthdays? Well, let us sing happy birthday. Ethelyn, happy birthday, and let us sing happy birthday, dear friends.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear friends.
Happy birthday to you.
Now, we know that tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, and you can see a burst of green everywhere. Oh, and look, yes, even our music director has the socks, too. You can't see them, but you'll see them after. She has the socks, too. So we have St. Patrick's Day, and I also want to wish my husband a happy anniversary tomorrow as well. So we have a wedding anniversary tomorrow. Any other anniversaries this week? Well, to those who are celebrating near or far, happy whatever it is. This week, we are going to pause and we're going to lift up those things in our lives. We started a short, small group study, 1 hour on Sunday mornings just before worship, where we're going to be looking at life and death and life after death. And one of the things we're looking at this week is life and the celebration of life. The idea of when we come together, we all have gifts to share. So today, as we think about the gifts that we have, the gifts that are us, the gifts that we share, the gifts that offer joy, peace, hope, and love, let us prepare ourselves for worship. When we gather each week, it is with deep gratitude and respect that Trinity Night Church Summerside gathers and worships on unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Ibigwid Prince Edward Island is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. This is the second week of Lent. This is a time that we are to seek renewal, a time to renew ourselves, a time of reflection. And each Sunday, we light the Christ candle as a sign and symbol of Christ's presence with us. And it's more than that. It is a time when we are commissioned to take the light of Christ, out into the world, in our thoughts, in our deeds, in how we respond to one another, all glorious gods. Amen.
Thank you.
the call to worship as printed in your bulletin and on the screens. One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in God's temple.
For God will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble.
God will conceal me under the cover of God's tent.
God will set me high on a rock. Please be seated.
Please join me in the gathering prayer that can be found on the bulletins and on the screens. Our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. By the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my friends in Christ, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved.
Thank you.
Today, those who are in junior church or visiting with us, ages 3 to 15, and leaders and helpers are welcome to come forward. We're going to share in a story time together. So come on forward. Welcome. How are you? Welcome. Welcome. Want to sit over here? Here we go. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We could have had that traveling music last week too. Wouldn't that have been fun? If I was to say, I promise, what does promise mean?
I promise.
You promise something, okay. Yes. You have to, whatever you're promising, to keep that promise. Anything else? If I say, I promise. So you expect me, if whatever I'm saying, I would keep the promise. So if I said, I promise, Karina, there is something really, really special in this box, that would mean when she opened the box, what was she, should she find? Something special. Because if I'm going to be saying, I promise, then there should be something special in there. What about if I said, I promise something special in here, and I can prove it? I'm going to give you a little hint. Bernadette, if you peek in there. Oh, just a glimpse of something that's a promise. What is it? Ooh, a promise of what something might be in there. A promise. Just a glimpse. Just a glimpse. I'm not even opening it up, am I? But the, oh, you can, I saw it, she says. I saw it. Can you see it? I saw it. Just a glimpse. Sometimes when we have a promise that we make to somebody and we say, maybe not yet, but it's coming, we know that something special is about to happen. In our story today, God is making a promise that Bernadette's going to share with us. God is making a promise to us, but not giving us all the details, only showing us a little glimpse at a time until we can open it and be able to share in it. Just like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, we can see. We're not going to open it yet. Let's hear the story first, and then we'll open it. Yay! I'm going to sit next to you.
Can you scratch
it? God's promise to Abraham. God came to Abraham and made a promise. Abraham, you are very special to me. I will take care of you and give you lots of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But Abraham asked God many times, are you sure? I don't have any children yet. God thought Abraham needed something more to help him understand. So God took Abraham outside and showed him the night sky. Your family will include as many people as there are stars in the sky, God told Abraham. Abraham stared up at all those stars. He couldn't begin to count all those twinkling lights. Stars and stars and stars all around him. Abraham looked up at the stars and saw God at work. Abraham believed God. Now for another promise, said God to Abraham. You will need a place for your huge family to live. I will give you this land as I promised. Are you sure, God? Abraham asked again. God made a covenant with Abraham, a promise that Abraham would become a father and a grandfather and a great-grandfather and a great-great-grandfather and a great-great-great-grandfather and on. And all Abraham's many, many sons, daughters, grandsons, and granddaughters would live with God on the land which Abraham stood.
Thank you so much, Bernadette. There was lots of promises in there, wasn't there?
So,
I made you a promise that there was something special in here. I'm going to show Karina. Karina, am I right? Is there something special in there? Ooh, yes. Louise, I'm going to show you. Is there something special in here? Did I break my promise? Is there something special in here? Ooh, ah. Let me just check. Make sure. I'm going to go all the way down here. Cindy, is there something special in here? Oh, sometimes we have to be patient to find out, just like in the story, what the promise will be revealed. So Karen, you'll have to reveal the promise in junior church. Let us sing together.
At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work.' Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Thank you.
Please be seated. And please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, dear God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This proclamation is one I have always seemed to struggle with because growing up in the Christian faith and being part of the church world has led me to understand that this proclamation usually leads to some sort of pushback and even tragedy. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It sounds at first quite appealing. Blessed is the one. Blessed usually is a good thing, right? But when you think of all the times within Holy Scripture and throughout the ages, those who are called blessed that come in the name of the Lord are by times treated in any other way than what one would define as blessed. Look at Jesus himself. He came proclaiming the good news, and look where that led him. To an outsider looking in, one would think the cross defeated Jesus. But we Christians believe differently. Theologian William Barclay sees Jesus' death not as a defeat, but that Jesus' death is actually a triumph. In his commentary from Barclay's study Bible on the Gospel of Luke, Barclay says, Jesus died with a shout of triumph on his lips. He did not whisper, "It is finished," as one who is battered to his knees and forced to admit defeat. He shouted it like a victor who had won his last engagement with the enemy and brought a tremendous task to a triumphant conclusion. He shouted, "Finished!" Finished was the cry of the Christ, crucified yet victorious. It is finished. The trial and tribulations of the journey of Jesus was what would lead us to believe that Jesus, that was done, finished. But instead, it led us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the King, and that death did not win. Now that is what I would call blessed, when death does not win. In this time of Lent, Jesus is on a journey to the cross. We know this. A not so nice place to be, we also know that. And we understand it. And I know, we know, like theologians, like Blair Clay, they know the rest of the story, and in the end, there is victory, and as such, we are blessed. We know the story, but we must recognize each step of the journey as presented throughout Lent, throughout the Lenten season. Jesus knew this. He shared the realities in our gospel lesson today when he proclaimed the journey he was on. He knew the time would come, and when it did come, he would face the wrath of the earthly head on. But, as Karina shared, he also knew that it wasn't time yet. He said to them, "Go tell that fox. Tell that fox for me, listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work, yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." The works of the Lenten journey are not easy, but we cannot turn away from the earthly realities that those who come in the name of the Lord face. Those who come in the name of the Lord do not walk on clouds or frolic through the fields of daisies or have listening ears all the time yearning to hear the good news. Those who come in the name of the Lord are not wrapped in bubble wrap. Those that come in the name of the Lord are not always welcomed, them or their message. I'm sure you heard the saying, don't kill the messenger. Well, those that come in the name of the Lord are subject many times to that kind of fate. If not literally, then in other ways. Their message is not always welcomed, and as such, they must be silenced in whatever way and whatever means possible. However, one cannot silence the good news. Remember, there is power in the blessings of God and in the message of love that will prevail. And that brings me to another thing. I have learned growing up as a Christian, we are a stubborn bunch. We are a stubborn bunch. We are like a tree that is surrounded by so many obstacles just from being in a forest. One would think that in such a chaotic environment, we should not grow or claim out a space to excel. Yet we do. We find a way, even in all the noise and the distractions of the world. We find a way to answer the call and proclaim the faith. We are stubborn. A few weeks ago, my husband, daughter, and I were hiking on the trails in our woods, and this tree in this picture captured my attention. So if you look, at first glance, it looks like the tree has blown out over the winter. Maybe a storm had come up and blown it over. And I remember thinking, oh, that's one of the trees that my husband can harvest, and before it gets rotten, we can harvest it. And that initial glimpse looks like the tree has found a tragic end. Blown out, maybe we can repurpose it, use it. But when you look even closer, the tree is actually growing that way. It's growing like that. To survive the obstacles around it, the chaotic reality of the forest, it had to grow in another direction to survive and to prevail. Still part of the system of the forest, still part of the earthly, but able to maneuver in a way that gets the job done. Victory. How stubborn is that? This tree made room to grow. It held its true purpose. It held to it. And it did by growing. It grew. It just started off just like any other tree, but its life, its purpose seemed to get in the way. All the other things seemed to get in the way. The others began to claim space back in this tree you would think just would get smothered out. So they thought. But the tree had other plans. It adapted. It didn't give up. It found a way to thrive. The tree started like any other tree, as we said. It grew straight up from a seed. It took root. It started to grow straight up. Then it was pushed and pushed and pushed so far over that one would think it would die, but instead it continued to grow, now in a sideways direction, then, not forgetting its purpose, found a way to start growing straight up again. See? Starting to grow straight up again. Not forgetting its purpose. It found a way to grow. A resurrection. And you know what? It continues to excel. It continues to proclaim its tree message. And just to think, I, at that first glance, going through the woods, I just thought it was dead. It was good as gone. Little did I know how wrong I was. In both the Hebrew lesson read by Bernadette and the gospel lesson shared by Karina, we hear two main themes in our second Sunday in Lent: patience and persistence. But those texts are moving us forward into Lent. They're pushing us forward into Lent. Like the tree, both themes are responding to what is going on around them and adjusting accordingly. Never forgetting its purpose. Not putting his head in the sand either. It's dealing with what's around you and adapting and being persistent. Just like the tree needed to adjust accordingly, we too need to adjust accordingly with our Christian proclamation, our faith. And this is not only work, It is persistent work. And to be honest, it is the works, and sometimes it feels heavier than other times. It takes a lot of grit to be Christian. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of perseverance. And remember the backbone that we talked about last week? We must live out our Christianity with a backbone. We need to have a backbone to carry the message that we're all commissioned to proclaim by Jesus, the message that we are to be persistent with. That persistent work of our Christian faith is more than one direction in growth. It's finding opportunities to create opportunities to live into our faith. We might have to grow sideways for a while. So in considering all of this, what could this proclamation really mean? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, in my research and prayerful reflection on this proclamation, I found this text offers divine authority, and there is a purpose for the persons that for the person who is known as blessed in the coming in the name of the Lord. And in many parts of the Bible, it announces this triumphant entry, for example, Palm Sunday. But whatever way we personally hear this proclamation, one thing ties all of those thoughts together. There is a connection between the earthly reality and the heavenly authority that offers us the message to not give up, to be persistent, to walk in faith, and to offer the messenger the blessing as well, the encouragement, to have the backbone to move forward, knowing that this, what we're doing here, just by coming to communal worship and being in this place, you are being the backbone of the faith, of the journey to Lent, the journey to the cross, and the journey to Easter, just by coming here and being in this space together, online, in person. And it's not always going to be easy, but we don't walk alone. We walk with the Lord. All glory is God's. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
This morning, mission and service story is building climate resiliency. In areas where historically there has been little rain, now there are floods. And where there were floods, now there is drought. That's how Shadrick Shambe, the monitoring and evaluation manager at Women of Change, an organization in Zambia that strives to improve conditions in rural communities by empowering women and girls. Describing the changing climate in Zambia, women bear the brunt. In Zambia, women are still responsible for collecting firewood, charcoal, and making food. Now, because of climate change, they have to walk longer distances to gather firewood. Charcoal is harder to get. That means it's harder to make food. Now, because, that means it's harder to make food. At the same time, women aren't involved in the decision-making progress, sadly, that impacts this work. Women for Change was established in 1992, and its long-standing partnership with the United Church stretches back to 1995. From the beginning, mobilizing communities to share ideas and best practices has been key to the work. Since its inception, 1,500 community groups have been established, with 25 to 40 people in each group and representatives from each forming associations. The group discuss a variety of justice-related topics, building climate resiliency by preparing for, recovering from, and adapting to drastically changing weather patterns is a priority. Weather extremes due to climate change, coupled with companies promoting seeds that only produce a single crop, increasingly puts people at risk. The majority of farmers are poor, they can't buy seed, but companies have created seed that force farmers to have to purchase them each year. Groups discuss how they can save and share seeds, what they can plant with longer or shorter rain, and if there are traditional methods that can increase food production. He says, adding, "We are grateful for the United Church support, the church that really has been there for many years, helping us build awareness and resiliency. It's been a real partnership. Your gifts through mission and service support long-term, life-changing work through committed partners like Women for Change." Thank you.
Thank you, Noelle. Thank you for offering us a story of persistence. A story of persistence that reminds us that when there is a need out there, that we are to respond in a wide variety of ways. I see response here at Trinity all the time, locally, globally, within our community of faith and within our community in general. Today, as we always do, we pause within our service to lift up the gifts of time and talent and treasures and all those things that we bring, our gifts, to this place. And so as we have the offering plate coming forward for those who are able, please rise and we'll offer a prayer of blessing over the offering. Reminding us that when we share with one another, those ripple effects can be so wonderful throughout not only our communities, but throughout the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bring our gifts. Bless them and us. We pray that the gifts received here today aid in the betterment of this world, that love is revealed, nourishment offered, and healing initiated. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. be seated. Please join me in prayer, and let us pray. Gracious God, open us up to be transformed by your presence. When we see others who need our love and kindness, let us reach out. Let us respond. For everyone that is going through times of struggle, help us to feel your warmth, your love, your comfort. Give us the courage as a faith community to respond with love, a love that you graciously exhibit. Holy God, sometimes we don't allow room for the holy. We try to shut out the Holy Spirit. We refuse to witness. Give us the wisdom to listen and learn from your teachings and to inspire us to be persistent, to be engaged, to see opportunities to proclaim, to listen and discern. Aid us in staying curious, asking questions, growing in our faith. When we do so, we make room for new ideas. We make room for the holy. We make room for transformation. Loving God, show us how to truly love and show grace to one another, a love and grace that you show us. When we become judgmental of others, give us the wisdom to pause and respond in better ways, to listen and live into your teachings. Remind us that with time and response, we show welcome. We are authentic with our welcome, and we pray for all the countries of the world to act with hearts that protect, that listen, that respect, that heal, that love, and create a place of peace. Let us now take a moment and silently pray for those who we have on our hearts today. Thank you, loving God, for hearing our prayers. Amen.
Good morning. We thank you for sharing in our service, whether in person, on live stream,
podcast, or sermon by phone. And we thank all those behind the scenes that make these services possible in their various forms. Plan to stay to share in the tea, coffee, and conversation following worship next Sunday. Thank you to the pastoral care team for caringly preparing this for our community of faith. This is also an opportunity to thank and wish Karina well. Council members, a quick reminder that there is a special meeting next Sunday following worship and following coffee and conversation time. This was initially planned for March 30th, and any additional information will be sent to you during the week. The flowers in the church today are placed in loving memory of Diane Hamilton from her funeral earlier this week. We ask you to keep her family in your prayers. And if you'd like to take a little posy home, just drop up here on your way out and take one, please. The ladies' luncheon scheduled for Tuesday will not be at Brothers 2. It will be at Gentleman Jim's. The Lenten luncheon, sponsored by the Summerside Christian Council, will be held at St. Paul's Catholic Church this Friday, with service commencing at 11:30 a.m., with a light luncheon to follow. If you're looking for a place to donate all your loose change, well, it's at either entrance, and we love the sound of clinking of the coin on the can. We aim to raise $1,500, and so far, in two Sundays, we've raised $332.85. So let's watch it continue to grow. Grade 12 graduates for 2025, the Dr. C. Duane Mullins Memorial Scholarship applications are available at the church entrances or by email to our church office administrator. For more information, please check the bulletin. For additional information on the life and work of Trinity Summerside and its work in the community, the bulletin and the Lenten newsletter are available at the entrances and on the website, trinitysummerside.ca. Have a great week.
Oh,
I love Big Organ. Big Organ's pretty amazing. Thank you for all for being here today, be it in person, on live stream, podcast, or sermon by phone. And as you leave this place today, I commission you all to be alert, to stand firm in the faith, to be valiant and strong, but let all that you do be done out of love. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen.